Welcome to Actuality Talk. Hi, I am Doc Mel, and our guest for the podcast today is former linebacker, Mr. Lamar Latham. Welcome.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure. The one and only Doc Mel. The one and only Doc
thank
Mel.
Thank you so much. Listen, for our listeners out there, we have a good show today. And I'm just going to tell you, the theme is, as you already know, secrets and lies.
Ooh.
Lamar, secrets and lies. And I just thought it was appropriate to have you on because I know a little bit about your story.
Okay.
And we're going to land the plane with this one.
Let's
because
do it.
There are going to be people that are out there that are in similar situations or may find themselves in similar situations.
Sure.
And they just need to understand it's important to just tell the truth.
Tell the truth.
To tell
and
the
shame
truth.
The devil.
As you would put it.
Tell the
shame,
truth and shame the devil.
And shame the devil. So just give us some background. And I want you to give it to me with respect to sharing the circumstances of your birth. Because that's where the secret comes in.
Sure. Well, from Warden, Texas, born and raised there, had a loving family, a big family. Come from, my mother is a family of about 13. And, of course, in the country, you have a different lifestyle, but I came from a home that, in a sense was a broken home. But at the same time, my mother, as we know that some kind of time happens, it was my mother and my father. I did not learn of my true father until I was about 32 years old. And, I felt some type of way, but at the time I felt like, okay, why did this happen? How did it happen? And then you learn how those types of things affect you.
How they affect you. So let's go back to why it happened, I guess, and how it happened. Just tell us what happened.
Well, in a nutshell, my mother was with a man, with a gentleman who I believe all of my life was my father.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And, once they separated, took some time apart, she embarked upon a different adventure.
Adventure.
And, excuse me. And things happened. Of course, I came along. But at the time, this man was a married man.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided it was in the best interest of everyone to keep me a secret. So that's what happened until I was 31 and a half years old.
So in your mom, she went back to the man who raised you or that you knew to be your father. And you just went on with your life.
Well, the parties agreed that it was in the best interest that no one would tell this and to keep everything in order.
Absolutely.
That I would remain a secret. Long as they knew the truth, then nobody else would suffer.
Nobody needed to suffer. So having said that, fast forward to when and how the truth was revealed to you.
I was at a family reunion and my oldest living aunt right now said to my mother, Alma, why don't you just tell this boy who his daddy is?
Now, mind you, you are 32 years old playing in the NFL. I mean, just give us that backdrop.
It's a bombshell.
It was a bombshell.
Yeah, it's a bombshell. And I'm looking around like, hold on, wait a minute. What do you mean who my father is? I know who my father is. And so my aunt, she kept on with it. And so we ended up cutting the family reunion short, getting in the car, coming back to Houston. I took her to her home. And I said, we're going to have to talk about this, Mama.
Absolutely.
Now, at the time, I'm being the father. She's being the daughter. We're going to have to talk about this. I need to have some closure with this. Let me know. And so she told me that evening, who my father was, how I could contact him. I did the very next day. We talked. Mind you, I never had a chance to meet this man, but this man has been a vital part of my life, even though he was in the shadows. This man was lurking in the shadows, coming to U of H, to football practices, football games. From what I understand, he never missed an Oilers game. When I first made the initial call, his wife told me that You know, Lewis would be happy to hear your voice.
Wow.
So, you know, to my amazement, she already knew what
His
was going on.
His wife already knew.
She knew what was going on. She knew my nickname. She knew everything about me. And that was the settling part for me. I became comfortable. I said to him, I don't want anything from you. I just want to know, man, look, I want to know why I look the way I look. Why I have a cleft in my chin. Why I have these freckles in my face.
Right, you know? Right.
And
you got 23 of his chromosomes.
You know,
23.
Those questions were answered. And the unfortunate thing was, you know, I didn't need anything from him. I was a millionaire, had everything, from what I understood, in line. And I just needed to know who I was and try to figure that thing out from that point. So we did that. Unfortunately, the week that we actually talked, I never got a chance to do anything with him. The question was, do you mind doing a DNA? He says, I don't need to do a DNA. I know you, my boy. You look just like me. And from everything that I've seen of him, pictures, and, you know, I'm this man's twin, you know, and now I understand why I look the way I look and why, where I get my height from. Wow. Although my mother is 6 feet tall, this man is 6 foot, you know, 5 inches and just a big man. And I just felt like, okay, some of these questions were answered and I was okay with it. And the unfortunate thing, I lost him that week.
So let's stop. We got to take a breath with this.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, that's
now it's becoming divine.
Sure,
intervention.
Sure.
That you had the opportunity, mm-hmm, after this secret, mm-hmm, was kept so long,
mm-hmm,
to meet your father.
Mm-hmm.
And within a week's time,
mm-hmm, he was gone.
I want the listeners to hear this.
He was out of here. He was gone.
He passed away.
His wife called me. I was in Los Angeles at the time and said, Lewis passed away today. And I wasn't really sad because I never really got a chance to know this man. I was sad that a lot of missed opportunities. But I was happy in the fact that this man had told me that he had been at practices and he
right.
had seen me, and he was just, his inability to reach out to me because he saw that I was going to be successful. He saw that I was going to be someone, and he didn't want to interfere in my life. That
wow,
to make it seem like he needed something from me.
And probably was afraid that would be the perception. Oh, well, now you come into my life, mm-hmm, after I'm a millionaire, after I'm, mm-hmm, playing in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
But that really wasn't his purpose. And that wasn't his point of view, if, mm-hmm, you will. He thought just it's best to leave it the way it is.
Right.
And God said, you know, but at some point you're going to get to know, at least hear my voice and know that I did care about you,
mm-hmm,
and think about you in that way. Because this goes back to the topic of the show. And I think when parents, that have children and they keep it a secret in terms of who the father is, sometimes there's a justification in the mind. Well, it's best to just leave well enough alone.
Mm-hmm.
Or because of the circumstances, you know, the father was married,
mm-hmm,
and a child was conceived.
Sure.
It's best just not to break up that home or not to reveal this to that particular family. And this is just, that's why this is called Actuality Talk.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this show is about. These are actual things, Lamar, that people are going through on a daily basis.
And, you know, what I see in all of it is, you know, even in the confusion, God is not the author of confusion. And even in his plan to be able to have this come about the way it came about, that's God's perfect timing. So even when we feel like it's wrong, it's right. Mm-hmm. It's his perfect timing.
He allowed it.
It was not meant for me to have certain things in my life that I wanted. But I did have a good, great supporting cast. I had my uncles who all were married men who all gave me a good example. I had people who wanted to represent me. I had, you know, Ivory Black, who was like a father figure to me the entire time I was at U of H and the entire time I was in the pros. I had manly figures to be able to come in and teach me and nurture me in that way. So I didn't really need, or I didn't really lose a father. You know, I gained a lot of things along my journey, and that God was able to facilitate a lot of different things that I probably wouldn't have had if I just was a, just a regular guy. So I'm blessed. We are all blessed. These things are happening. And the point of the matter is, it is life.
It is life. It happens.
It's life.
But sometimes we don't know what to do with what happens. So I'm asking you, do you think these circumstances affected you on a deeper level? And could you share?
Well, I think on a greater scope, when I look at it, I think I was angry with my mother when I first found out. That probably lasted maybe a week or two. I have this thing about me, no matter what, no matter who I deal with, everybody that knows me know that I really can't let the sun go down on my wrath. I have to try to make it right. I have to try to fix it. Life is too short. I do not live my life holding any grudge against anybody. People have wronged me, and I'm sure I have wronged some people. The thing about it is I had to come to terms with all of this stuff, and I did. And the key word, and when you stir all this up in this big pot of life, which is an ingredient, it is forgiveness. Forgive my mama for not allowing me to have and share my father. Forgive my father for not having the wherewithal to say, okay, I might lose something, but maybe I'll gain my son.
Right.
Maybe he could have shared in my adventures, my life, and helped molded me at some point. But in the whole scheme of things, things still worked out the way that they needed to work out. What? Why do I need to be mad at my mother anymore, or mad at him because I didn't get a chance to know him? I had male figures.
And it's good you had that perspective, because what people need to know that are harboring these secrets or keeping these types of secrets, they may be revealed one day. They may be revealed one day, and it's how the revelation takes place. Mm-hmm. Will it be at a family reunion by an aunt? You know, where and when will it take place? So you have control of the situation.
You do.
If you determine within self, you know what, this is something that I think I need to share.
Mm-hmm. I think from that perspective, you know, any secret, you know, we know how that works out. We can harbor that thing for so long. If you have to live daily, lie after lie after lie, to cover all the misgivings that we have, first of all, people need to understand that we are not perfect.
We are not perfect at all.
In this grand scheme of things, meeting people on the level where they are, people make relationships so hard. Because all you have to do is tell a person what you want and what you need.
Yeah.
And meet them right there.
And that's a podcast in and of itself. Secrets and lies in relationships. It's we could just go there. That is a podcast in and of itself, because so many relationships are, what would you call it, Lamar?
I say
they start off maybe as
we all try to put on our best face. That's that honeymoon phase.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a few stages in relationships. That's that exciting, oh, my God, I can't get enough of this person. Then there's this, okay, he might be cray-cray, she might be cray-cray. And then there's that stage when you wake up and you smell a woman's breath, or they smell your breath, and you're like, oh, Lord,
this
no.
This is reality.
This is what it really is.
This is what it is.
But if you really love people, you know, because we only have one common denominator in this entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody thinks that what is important is important. The common denominator is love that binds us all together. The point is, we all need one another. But in all of that, in that factor, we have to be honest with one another. What do I need from this person?
What do you need?
And guess what else we need to do? Check our motives at the door. What do we want from these people?
What do we want?
And what do they want from us?
Mm-hmm.
And then things become clear. You can have a better relationship, and a relationship that don't have to be based on lies.
Let me ask you this. Was that challenging for you in terms of being in relationships as a professional athlete? Did you have to check the motives? What was that like for you? Take us back to when you were in the NFL and what that was like for you.
Well, this is a Isn't this a Christian station?
No, this is actual talk.
This is what it is. It's real. First of all, Doc, I did not trust my lifestyle in the NFL. I did not trust the women that came into my life because I figured, and this is a real testament to me. I really didn't have enough self-confidence to think that these people wanted me for me. You know, I'm 6'4". I was 265 pounds. I was in absolute tip-top condition. I like to think I'm nice on the eyes. But I didn't believe that they wanted me for me. So how difficult is it for any professional woman, man or woman, to come into some instant success and be able to broadcast it in a way that they're confident and their self-confidence will allow people to enter into their lives without having some problems and some issues. So I had issues, but I didn't have any problem with honesty. My honesty was, listen, this isn't going to be what it's going to be. I date. I'm not in a committed relationship. You can come along for the ride. As I said before, the danger in all of that is people have feelings. People are going to get attached.
Right.
What person came in with some different motives at the end of the day may have said, man, I really like this guy.
Right.
He is a really good guy. You know, and there's some people that probably said, oh, I'm going to get him. I can't wait to get him. And so you have to be able to discern. And I'm going to be honest with you. I believe in all with all my heart, the Holy Spirit flees your body when we are infiltrating our body with things that God doesn't want to have, whether it's too much drink, whether it's destroying our bodies with infidelities and fornication. The Holy Spirit can't exist in that realm. So discernment becomes a little distorted because God ain't with you on all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the decisions
I
made.
Did that bother you? Was there a piece of you that may have felt that longing or understanding that, you know, this isn't really who I am?
I've known for a long time who I was. I'm a country boy from Warden, Texas. I tell everybody I've been to the White House, been in the White House, been there for consecutive days. But just as well as I've been in the White House, I can hang out in Third Ward or Fifth Ward because I know how to interact with anyone. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like and never have been a pretentious person. I'm just a country boy who knows, you know, where I've been, why I've been where I've been, and how to be able to handle myself, especially now at the age that I am. Of course, there are some bumps in the road and things that have happened that I'm not mm-hmm. proud of, but it is what it is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people think that is just a shallow phrase and people can be so shallow. But it is what it is what it is. Mm-hmm.
So that lifestyle, because I'm thinking with the theme of secrets and lies, mm-hmm. that's a lifestyle that could perpetuate a lot of that. I mean, drug use that may take place in the NFL.
Oh, my God.
Just all of those kinds of things that I guess players may be exposed to that they want to hide from individuals. It's like its own culture, isn't it?
Well, Doc, I look at it like this. Not only the NFL guy who we see, and if we didn't broadcast what salaries were, we would just think these guys were just great athletes and, you know, they make a salary. But since your salary is broadcasted, you know, you are prone to a whole lot, bunch of different things. But the lifestyle, in and of itself is just, I think it's an illusion.
An illusion.
The strip bars, you know, the jewelry. The fancy cars, the thinking that you can have any woman that you want, or in some cats' cases, any man, you know, let's just get real.
Yes.
You know, it's a whole bunch of that going on. But the thing about it is, God really gave us what he's given us, not because he wanted us to be rich. He gave it to us because we are a visible, viable part of the community and people or gravitate to that, a great athlete, you know, a smart person.
You're right.
So then he says, I'm going to give you this wealth, which is really not wealth. it's a piece of wealth. Wealthy is billions. A few million dollars, if not handled properly, can leave you and be fleeting in a short period of time. What I'm saying is we are just given a regiment to be able to do and to promote God. And that's really all anyone, everybody talking about what my purpose in life is just to promote God.
Mm-hmm.
But in and of itself, the lifestyle is, I just think, like I said, it's an illusion. It's filthy.
And you say filthy in terms of?
It's the way that we think.
The way that you think.
Oh, we can have everything. And there's nothing that I can't have. That's why you see some of the things that happen in the media right now. It's a false sense of security.
Mm-hmm.
It's someone from the time that you were, you know, 10 telling you, we've never seen anyone like you before.
Mm-hmm.
You're a great athlete. It's the same thing as, you know, highly publicized with the gentleman that played for the Washington Redskins, who's a good friend of mine, Mr. Manley, who was put through school and not even being able to read, but was an unbelievable person with a great heart.
Right.
But you know how much it took for this man to be able to do what he did? To overcome all of those adversities.
But think about the person who's hiding that. Again, secrets and lies. Think about the person who can't read, that's hiding that, that doesn't share that. I think that, you know, when you become an athlete, that doesn't change who you are
mm-hmm.
as a person. If you were broken before you got into the NFL, you're going to be broken in the NFL no
right.
matter how many zeros are in your bank account.
Right.
It's about being able to come clean within oneself in terms of what it is they want to achieve
right.
on that particular level, that self cleansing type mm-hmm. of level.
Well, when you mention broken, I can tell you, I obviously was broken because in 07, when I had to start all over again, my silly, immature thinking told me that nobody would like me because I wasn't a millionaire anymore. That's broken.
That's broken.
That's no self-awareness, not being confident. And I had all of those things.
And your self-worth being tied into how much money you
that
make
I had.
Or you had.
Yes. You know, I've driven and owned outright three Bentleys and Ferraris and paid for. But, you know, what sense did it make for me to have that stuff once I got to a certain level in finances? So you get rid of that stuff. And I thought, oh, people are not going to like me. They're not going to like the fact that I can't do the things for them that I used to do or
right.
I feel a certain way about me. I'm not going to be the life of the party anymore. So, you know, you shield that kind of stuff. And I don't know at any point that I actually lied or acted as if I still had it. I went into seclusion. I didn't want anybody to know that I was broke.
And it's
that
good
I had
you
to start
bring,
all over.
It's good you bring that up because I was going to talk about that next, that transition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're transitioning, I remember you and I spoke before and you said the high you used to get when you would just walk into that stadium.
Sure.
You would see people with your number
oh
on their
God.
Jersey.
It's unbelievable.
And just that type of high and then to go from mm-hmm. that to what am I going to do
right.
next?
Right. The smartest players, Doc, the smartest players, when they are playing football, the smartest guys, they are trying to transition already. They are trying to mainstream themselves to go on and have different careers after they play football. It's the guys who don't do that. It's the guys who think, oh, I'm going to play forever. Oh, I'm going to play for 15, 20 years. Oh, I'm going to bet on the come. I'm going to get this $30 million contract and I'm going to get $20 million guaranteed. And we know from that, I'm going to get $10 million to myself because the government is going to take half of it. And I'm going to live off of this.
Right.
So until then, I'm going to party like a rock star. I'm going to roll. I'm going to be all over. I'm going to live that life without any type of planning, without any type of thinking about.
So is that the downside of being an NFL athlete? Is that you've got to either be prepared or not be prepared for that transition and how that affects you? Because mind you, how many surgeries have you had?
I've had 30 surgeries and until this last one, 31 now with the total replacement.
So it's not like you transition and then it's you just walk off into the sunset. You still, in some instances, have to deal with the residual side effects of having been in the league while you're dealing with the transition.
Well, my silly behind thought that I would play for about 15 years. And when I didn't get to 10 and I said, I need to retire. Some of the people closest to me like, man, you've done enough. You know, you made enough money. At the time, I think I've had maybe $5 million in the bank. Okay, I got $5 million in the bank.
Everything good, paid for. I'm straight.
You know, I'm straight. But in reality, you're not straight because you're still taking on all the lifestyles of everybody else.
Talk to us about that. What do you mean the lifestyles of everybody else?
It's like coming into something and you feel like you need to be obligated to do things for the people who have helped you along. Now, for me, if that was the case, all of my uncles, my aunts who were involved, you know, if it wasn't something from giving me a little care basket or something to have at school or whatever, it was something that they did for me to help promote me to get me on the right track. So I felt what I had was way too much anyway, because when I got hurt my senior year, going into my senior year, I would have played for free. That's how much I want to play pro football. But I had a plan. My plan was if I didn't play pro football, I was going to go into the Marines and I was going to be going to the Secret Service. That was my lifelong dream. But it happened to where, okay, I got hurt and I was able to play, but taking care of everybody, feeling like you need to do this thing because you owe people. And when
you know, you're still like that today.
I am.
But you're wired that way.
I just believe that God gave that to me. My mother was that way. We give you the shirt off our backs. Mm-hmm. You could hit me about 20 times, Doc. And then on that 21st time, I'm going to say it hurts. That's how I am. That's how I've always been. I believe in giving people the benefit of the doubt. I don't know that I really have run into bad people, because it's not what people are. It's what you do, but more importantly, how you do it. Just like, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. Mm-hmm. And when people get that and understand that, again, bringing back that thing about love, love surrounds all of that. If you love people, it's not hard to be able to do things for people and want them to do better. But in this culture, I hate to say it, Black people, we are so far removed from what it really comes down to, because I don't care how many alphabets we have behind our names and all this different thing. You know, we don't patronize one another. We are jealous of one another, of what we have, instead of being supportive of one another. We need one another. We're the only culture that really are outside of ourselves, where we feel like we can be independent and one of our own, and we don't have a clue. Mm-hmm. White people, Hispanic people, Asian people, why they got it. But we come from the motherland. We're supposed to be the first people. We haven't come so far removed in 400 or 500 years to where we didn't forgot about what God really instilled in us as a people.
I see what you're saying.
How do you forget all of that?
How do you forget all of that?
And as far as secrets and lies, it's a lie.
It's a lie.
Because we are, you know, we cannot do it all by ourselves. We need each other. We need to support one another.
Well, Lamar, I tell you, I'm glad you shared your story, because believe it or not, there are people that are out there that are in these situations. Mm-hmm. We speak, their child doesn't know who their real father may be.
Right.
They're keeping these things. And I think each situation is different in terms of what's the best thing to do. Mm-hmm. But we do know that telling the truth is always a good thing. It's always a good thing to do.
I believe, like you say, in my situation, take, for example, the woman who I consider the love of my life. During the time that my mom was sick and everything, I guess the immaturity in me and the insecurity in me didn't feel like I had the support that I needed. and you take a situation where you don't even know a person very well. You just know them over the years, coming and going, seeing them, never having any type of intimate or any type of connectivity to where you feel some type of closeness with them. And all of a sudden, and people all like to say the devil didn't have anything to do with what I did. It was me, Doc. It was me being selfish, lusting. My flesh was burning. I'd be darned if someone doesn't give me what I want. I'm going to go get it. That old silly, got to have it, toddler mentality, to where everything is mine, mine, mine. So it got me into the situation I got into. But there was nothing in me that would have kept
that
secret away from the person that I said that I love. You don't hurt people that you love, but we end up doing it. The saying is, we hurt the people's closest to us. Well, yeah, that is a situation where you go out and you father a kid, no matter whether you are married or
a separate relationship.
You father a child, whether you're a man or a woman. You father a child or give birth to a child. And why live a lie?
Because
really, even though I can sit here.
Why live a lie? So go back. Even though you can sit here.
I have solace in my belief that I can go to bed at night knowing this woman who I love, whom I still love, it wasn't going to go on those streets nowhere and find out
the truth.
This cat. What? Really?
Really.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
Don't want to do it. Love her too much.
So that goes into us, you know, as we close this thing out, Lamar, what lessons have you learned as a man?
Well, I believe if you hang in a barbershop long enough, Doc, you're going to get a haircut. I believe if young people out there listening to this, first of all, you don't need to aspire to be some professional athlete. I believe that your education is way more important. I wish, I'm going to be honest with you, I envied my teammates who went to class every day and got their degrees and that were out in the workforce because they have a future, they have careers, they have stability. So I would tell young people, that's what you need to aspire to be. You know, be the best student you can be, not the best athlete you can be. Also, you know, your confidence doesn't come in a pack of wolves. You know, we're not barbaric anymore. You can be your own island by yourself, but you can be an independent person. That independence comes from your family members, people telling you you're great and you're this and you're that. But you have this confidence, but not the type of confidence that you become an egomaniac or you become this narcissistic person. You become a person that is confident. But the most important thing as a man that I've learned, listen, I make mistakes.
Yes.
I know fear is not of God, but sometimes I'm downright afraid of the things that go on. I just feel like I know that I need God in my life. If I had incorporated and kept God in my life when it initially started, you know, we're not even here talking about some story about Lamar in 07 lost all of his money. We're talking about how I've been blessing the kingdom and how I go around and not used to and not walking the line of good and bad and, you know, not straddling the fence all the time and not having to make these hard, difficult decisions because I would have supplanted myself in this cement that would have grounded me and I could have had a better life. It's the decisions that we make that are mostly important. And, you know, by all means, you got to listen.
You got to listen.
You got to listen. I listen to people all the time. And I ask God to, you know, be able to give me this spirit of to be able to discern what is right and wrong, Doc. But let me tell you something. If you can't listen, you ain't gonna never learn anything.
You're not going to learn anything.
And I think it's just very important for not only you to listen to, but for you to be able to listen to people.
So Lamar Lathan, mm-hmm. how do you want to be remembered?
Well, if just to sum it up, I remember a story I'll tell you briefly. This happened maybe 5 years ago, Doc. I was somewhere maybe signing some autographs. And somebody came up to me and said, whatever happened to that stuff that happened to you in the strip bar? And I'm thinking to myself, man, I've been out of Houston since 95. I went on to be all pro Carolina Panther linebacker, lead the league and sack, all that kind of stuff. And that's all you remember about me?
That's all you remember.
And I thought to myself, man, I can't be mad at this cat. I got to do a better job.
Mm.
What I want people to know and remember about me, this cat loved God. He changed his life around. He was an example instead of a hypocrite. He struggled. He loved everybody. He gave everybody a chance. And if that's the worst that I can do, I think I will be okay.
You will be okay. Lamar Lathan, thank you so much for coming on Actuality Talk. And listen, for the listeners out there, give us a call at 832-780-9166 and share your story. If you're one of those people that's living a lie or carrying a secret, reevaluate it and see within self if it's something that maybe you need to expose. Consider that. Thank you so much for joining the podcast. See you next time.
You like that?
Uh-oh. Looks like it's the Ask Doc Mail question of the day.
Hey, Doc Mail.
Hello. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm wonderful. Just got a lot of things on my mind that I need your assistance and expertise on and your thoughts.
Okay, what's going on with you?
Well, you know, we live in a day and time where, you know, we have a lot of friends and family and we want to still belong. And, you know, I was just wondering, my big question was, HIV is a part of our, you know, everyday lives now. And I was just wondering if it's something that I should disclose to friends and family, or is it something I should maybe keep to myself? I just like to be transparent, but I don't want to be frowned upon, you know?
I understand completely what you're saying. Let me tell you the approach that I think you should use with respect to this. I think you should have the perspective that it should be based on a need-to-know basis. And that's just what I believe. Frankly, it's not the world's business, you know, to know your status. And think of it this way. People have all kinds of things. They have gonorrhea, herpes, hepatitis, chlamydia, all kinds of STDs. And they don't go around disclosing that to their family and friends. They really don't. You know, it's not necessary to do that. The only people that deserve to know your status is any person that you are intimate with. If you're going to be intimate with the person, I think respectfully, they should know your status. And that's even if, you know, it's undetectable at that point. You should still disclose that and be truthful about your status, only because there is risk involved, you know, whenever you're intimate and having sex. But other than that, I don't think that you owe anybody that kind of information. I just don't. Just be honest with your sexual partners and be honest prior to engaging in sex. And that's the only thing that I would recommend.
Well, thank you so much. I think that's really kind of where I was leaning towards also. But, you know, being with, we have someone like yourself that we can reach out to and kind of get a little bit more clarification, it really helps in our decision-making, because these are lifelong thoughts and decisions that, you know, that, you know, that I have.
Right. And people's perceptions, you know, we're in society. Everybody is not educated on these things. And just think about it from a needs to know perspective. If they need to know, you should disclose it. But if they don't need to know, there's no reason to disclose it. Just continue to live your life happy, healthy, and whole. And I wish you the best.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Doc. I really, really appreciate it. And you have a wonderful, awesome day.
You too. Appreciate it. Thank you for calling. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Working at KTSU has truly been a unique experience. Coming from the commercial world of radio, I had to learn a different side of radio, public radio. What I have found out about public radio, it truly is about the audience it serves. With the rich history of KTSU in its 45th year, there has been a lot of changes and growth. I hear stories daily of how this incredible radio station started and those who have paved the way for people like myself to continue in this rich tradition. What really brings it home are the students at Texas Southern University. We not only train and educate those in the communication field of study, we also have students from the music department, the Jesse H. Jones School of Business, and other various schools here at TSU. This is what KTSU is all about. We entertain, educate, inspire, inform, empower, elevate, and unite the students as well as our listening audience and the community. Therefore, becoming a sustaining, new, or renewing member is very important. We need to keep the legacy of KTSU alive and the heart beating very strong. And it cannot happen without your support. Keep the heart beating strong and support KTSU today. I'm Donna Franklin, Program Director and host of Jazz by Design, Monday through Thursday from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. Thank you for your time. And most importantly, thank you for supporting KTSU, your heartbeat.